Greetings to all of God's people. This is Mordecai Joseph, 1-9, lesson 101. And last time we were in the book of Timothy in chapter 1, where Paul was teaching the brethren through Timothy. That is, he was writing to him, but he's teaching all the brethren because Timothy was going to, in turn, teach all the congregation of this matter. And when those things were written, obviously, for generations to come, they were all going to read the same thing. And basically, he was telling him about the Torah, which he always taught. He was consistent at that. He never taught otherwise. And he told him, as we read in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8, we know, you see, we who are the apostles, who are the disciples, who are the people of God, who are the people of Jesus Christ, we know that the law, that the Torah, is good if one uses it lawfully. You see, because it's possible to use the law deceitfully also, in the wrong way. And there was no doubt whatsoever in his mind or the mind of anyone else, and they never conceived of any other teaching but that the Torah of God is good. And it's not like it came later on. Some people, false prophets, grievous wolves, ignorant people who misunderstood totally the words of the Apostle Paul and others and claimed that the law is not good, that the law is bad for us, it's against us. And made it very plain, the law, the Torah, is good. The teachings of God are good. They are for our own benefit. They are a tree of life. And they make it possible for us to reach the end result, which is Jesus Christ, the hope of glory in us. And so it says in verse 9, knowing this, that the Torah is not made for a righteous person. Now, if you are righteous, you never sin. Obviously, it's not for you. Because why? Because you don't need it. No, because you already do it by nature. You already obey it. It's already a part of your nature, your character. And the person who is considerate of his neighbors does not need all kind of laws to tell him, don't do this and don't do that. Don't walk on my grass. You see? And likewise, for those who are disobedient, in like manner, in the opposite way, if they are inconsiderate of their neighbors, if they are inconsiderate of fellow men, people at work, people in the house, anywhere else, then they need many, many laws that will tell them, basically, that much of their behavior and conduct and attitudes and philosophy of life and actions are not good. And the way they're going to be told is through a set of rules and regulations and teachings that will tell them, you don't think that way, you don't act this way, and that's what he's saying here. He's contrasting the people who are obedient in contrast to those who are disobedient. And this is where the law enters. And so he says in verse 9, knowing this, that the Torah is not made for a righteous person. And so he made it very plain throughout all of his teachings that he never deviated from the Torah of God. He always taught the Torah of God. Without the Torah of God, the Apostle Paul would have very little to talk about. And so it was with Jesus Christ, and so it was with the apostles. They all constantly taught the Torah of God. They all constantly taught the words of the prophets. And there is no new religion here. And there is no new theology here. And there is no new entity on the scene. It's all the same continuation of the same story. The God of heaven, who taught his law from the beginning of time when he created Adam and Eve, wanted all mankind to walk in the same Torah, in the same way of life. And that's how they become just like his son, Jesus Christ. That's how they become like him. That's how they become holy and sanctified and all those qualities that God demanded that we develop if we are to become like him, if we are to become perfect. And so you can see there is total impossibility that the apostles would ever teach otherwise but the Torah of God. Because that's the only way to Jesus Christ, that's the only way to God. Those who are disobedient, Christ is not going to fellowship with them. And those who are disobedient to God, he is not going to have any relationship with them. He's not going to beget them to be his sons. And so for those who come later on, and came later on, and during the days, even the Apostle Paul began to teach those lies, that it's okay to sin, let us sin that grace may abound, he made very plain, and in all of his writings, and all the other disciples have done the same, that all these people are evil people, disobedient people, children of the devil, who speak against the Torah, while they, in contrast, have done just the opposite. And so in chapter 2, and verse 3, we read For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And he's speaking ultimately about the Elohim, the Father of Jesus Christ, is also our Savior. But in specific, Jesus Christ is the one that was sent to save us from our sins by taking all of our transgressions upon himself and nailing them to the cross. In other words, when he was nailed to the cross, our sins and iniquities and the verdict, the guilty verdict, also was nailed to the cross. In other words, the debt was being paid. And now we were free to walk in the truth, not apart from it, in obedience, not in disobedience, in righteousness and holiness, not in unholiness and unrighteousness and transgression of the Torah. And so he says that God desires all men in verse 4 to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So it's not enough just to say, well, I believe in Jesus Christ, I'm saved. No, you have to come to the knowledge of the truth. And what is the knowledge of the truth? When you study the Torah of God, when you study the prophets, and then when you study what all the disciples, beginning with Jesus Christ, said about the Torah and the prophets, you understand what the truth is all about. That the people who will enter into the kingdom of God are going to be obedient people to the law of God. And that's why the beginning of the message of Jesus Christ, when he came on the scene in his own land, among his own people, he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. You see? Repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. So the first thing to do is turn away from transgression against the Torah. For people who think that they can do away with the Torah and then still enter into that kingdom, well, Jesus Christ and all the apostles made very plain, they're all a bunch of liars. And for all of us who may think that way, or who may be leaning in that direction, who may think that we can just live by grace and by faith and just believing in Jesus Christ, let's remember that the devil is in the same position. He lives with the knowledge that God is God. He knows his Torah. He knows his teachings. And he transgresses, you know, all of them anyway. And so it's not enough to believe in Christ or believe in God. The devil does that too. We must obey him. And that's the difference between us and the devil. We must obey, he does not. And so he wants to lead people to believe just the same as he does. You don't have to obey God, and you can still get away with it. And that's what he did to Adam and Eve. And so God desires for all men to be saved. And you cannot be saved in your transgression, but in obedience. And to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one Elohim, one El Elyon, one chief deity, and one mediator between Elohim and between men. And there are no three of them, just two of them. One is Elohim, and the other one is a mediator. One is a chief deity, and the other one is also a deity, but he's not the chief deity. One is El Elyon. And the scriptures made that very plain for those who have eyes to see, for those who are wise. Obviously, the wise can understand. Those who are not going to understand that. They may think they are wise. And so he said, this deity is a mediator between God, between Elohim and man, who himself is also a deity. He gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And he gave himself as a ransom by taking all the sins of mankind upon himself. And he's not going to do it so mankind can go about doing their own thing and transgressing the law and continuing to sin and transgressing God's way of life, and thinking, it's all okay now. Christ paid the penalty for us. Well, he's not going to be paying the penalty for us for eternity. Just once. And at that point, we decide, we're going to repent of our sins and iniquities and walk in righteousness and obey the Torah of God. So when we come before him, he would not tell us, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the will of my Father? Do not obey my law. Do not obey my words. If we are to enter into life, we must obey the commandments. So we cannot enter into life without obedience to the commandments. So the message is very plain. One must be an absolute moron, an imbecile, and willfully stupid, an idiot, to think otherwise. And the scriptures are very plain. But without obedience to God, there is no way you can be in his presence. No more than the devil and his demons are going to continue to be in the presence of God for eternity and have a relationship with him. Why? Because of their disobedience. So to think that we can be demons and devils in that sense, by disobedience, and still have an intimate relationship with God, as I said, one must have, you know, lobotomy on his brain, you know, to even come to believe this kind of way and to think this way. And we cannot kid ourselves and play these kind of games and then think that we can enter into the kingdom of God. It just doesn't work that way. So we should not be kidding ourselves and no think that we can mock God. Some people think they can do it and get away with it. 2 Timothy 3:14. We continue the story. There are many scriptures in between, but we cannot cover everything. And once you know the basic and the knowledge and understanding, you have to go through it and understand it yourself and put all the pieces together. But the words are very plain that God gave us through his disciples from beginning until the end. And people who don't believe in it, who want to walk their own way, well, obviously they become evildoers. It's just Paul said to Timothy in chapter 4 in 1 Timothy. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, thinking about his time, thinking that Christ was coming in his time, and that was the latter times, the end time. But people have been that way since that time and are getting worse. Now the Spirit expressly says, the Spirit of God, that in the latter days, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits or deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience, that is, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. And that's the reason they justify lawlessness and disobedience and hatred against the Torah of God. And so they come up with their own knowledge, with their own creation of theology, with their own truth, and their own laws and commandments. Forbidding to marry. Well, when you forbid to marry, you create a law. So on one hand you say the law is not done away with me, on the other hand you turn around and create a new law. Now, that doesn't make sense. And the command to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving, and so again they add their own law. And again, that doesn't make sense. Why would you be rebellious to the law of God and then invent your own and think that they have to live by that? And that's the only way you can make it into the presence of God. Well, as I said, you know, people who are in that state of mind are total morons, and God didn't call us to be that kind of people, but wise and obedient and faithful until the end, faithful unto death, obedient unto death, never playing games with the law of God. And so let's continue in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where he continues to speak to Timothy, giving him instructions, knowledge and understanding of the Word of God, of the Torah of God, of the truth of God. And he says to him in verse 14, but you must continue, that is in contrast to all those imposters who are deceitful, who are deceiving others, as it said in verse 13, but evil men, what is evil? People who disobey the Torah of God, this is what makes you evil. And people who are righteous are the ones who are obedient to the Torah, because the Torah tells you what is evil, what is not, and what is good. And so he says, in contrast to the evil people who are imposters, who are liars, who are, you know, they deceive people, they steal their faith away from them, they deprive them of the faith, of obedience to God. He says, they're going to grow worse and worse. They're going to deceive, and they're going to be deceived themselves. But you, in contrast, and for that matter, every single one of us, you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. And he's been taught the way of God, the truth of God, the Torah of God, the words of the prophets. And he said, you must continue in that. And the things that you have learned from us, that is, being assured of and knowing from whom you have learned them. You see, you didn't learn them from the false prophets that came and said the law is done away with. You learned it from the disciples of Christ who taught the same message that he taught. But don't think that we, you know, that he came to destroy the Torah or to do away with it, or the prophets. He came to fulfill it and to magnify it for all of us to walk in it. And he says, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. You have known Moses. You have known the prophets. You have known the Psalms. You have known the writings. You see, this is what he's appealing to him, to be obedient to that Torah and to the prophets of God, and to all the teachings that he received from those who transferred those teachings to him and expounded them. And so he said, from a childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able, you see, the Holy Scriptures, the Torah, the prophets, which magnify the Torah, they are able to make you wise for salvation. And some people don't realize that. That it is through the Torah that you come to Christ. How would you know anything about Christ unless you study His Torah? His nature, His character, His teachings, His Word. And then when that Word abides in you and multiplies in you, you're being formed in the image and likeness of God. You become holy and sanctified. And that's what He's saying here. And that's what we're saying here from the beginning of the series. That it is through the Torah that you become like Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the end result of what the Torah is all about. All the teachings of God. And that's what He's saying to him, and that's what He's saying to all the members of the body of Christ. And yet the liars and the thieves and the robbers don't believe it. And they told just the opposite. And they lied about the Apostle Paul in their ignorance and misunderstanding of what he's saying, what he's talking about, saying that he said the law is done away with. We don't need to keep it. We've got a new religion, new theology. We just live by grace and by faith. Now Paul made it very plain, and only the liars are denying what he said. Because they are ignorant and blind and deceived and have deluding spirits and deceiving spirits, demons, you know, that reside in their spirit. And we must not be of that category. And so he said, from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith. Yes, obedience and faith. The two go together. Which is in Christ Jesus. And what faith did Christ walk in? What way of life? Was he disobedient constantly to his Father's commandments? Of course not. He taught obedience to his Father, and he was obedient to death. And he commanded us to be obedient to death, if need be. There is no other religion here. So it's the religion of the prophets. It's the religion of Moses. It's the religion that Christ gave them. And this is this very religion that Paul is teaching, and he never taught anything else. So where do you come up with a new idea that there is a new religion called Christianity, or a new theology, or a new way of life? There's no such a thing. And so in verse 16, he says to him and to all of us, all Scripture. And what Scripture was he talking about at the time? There was no such a thing as New Testament. You see, that terminology came later on, and it's not by Jesus Christ, and it's not by His disciples. It came later on by those who created a false church. Because the New Testament is going to be ratified with the house of Israel and the house of Judah when God brings them back to their land. That's what He's coming. So the Scriptures He's talking about is all the things that have been written by Moses and the prophets. And then when the writings of the disciples became canonized, because there were teachings based on the Torah and the prophets, they became known also as Scriptures. And that's where people gave it the name, the New Testament. But they were just magnification and addition and comprehension, better deep understanding of what Moses and the prophets were all about. And so it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, of Elohim, and is profitable for doctrine. That is for teaching, that's what Torah is, teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You can never get away from the Torah, from obedience to the law, to the faith. That's what Peter says, you must obey the faith. And Paul says you must obey the truth. And there are those people who disobey the truth. And so he says, all these things are given to us, all Scripture, so that in verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Instead of evil work, good work. And you do it through the Torah. There is no other way. And Christ came to magnify the Torah, and He came to make it possible for us to have the Holy Spirit so the Torah can be written in our hearts. And that's what the essence of the New Covenant is all about. When the law of God is going to be written in our heart, or that is on the tables of our heart. And for people to think that they can have a membership in the so-called New Covenant or New Testament church without obedience to the Torah, well, they must be totally insane. And people are losing their sanity, and then people who have known better are going back to it. And that's why he says people are departing from the faith, and they're doing it today. And you see it all around you. People think that in disobedience they can please God. In rejecting His Torah and having resentment and contempt for it, they think that they can please God. They think that they can walk in His presence, act just like demons and the devil, you know, who is disobedient to His law. And so they think that in partial obedience to God, that's good enough. There's no such a thing. All Scripture, he says, not some of them, all of them, are given for that purpose and to that intent. They don't pick and choose. All that is that the men of Elohim, there aren't many of them, there are very few of them. That's why Jesus Christ told the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4 that God is spirit and He must be worshipped in truth, that is through the word of God, through the Torah, and whatever the teachings that God gave to His people as time went by. And people must worship Him in spirit, not in the wrong spirit, but the spirit that leads us to truth, to the word of God, and in truth. And it says, the Father seeks those kind of people, because there aren't many of them. He's searching for people like that, who would obey Him from the heart, with all their being and heart, and not play games with His Torah, and think they can get away with it, and kid themselves, and deceive others. And so for the man of Elohim, to be complete, he must be taught the Scriptures, all of them, and walk in them. Not rebel against them and despise them. And in that way he will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, not bad works, but good works. Bad works are disobedience to the law, to the Torah. And then we continue. Well, let's actually backtrack a little bit here into 1 Timothy and chapter 3 and verse 14 with the Apostle Paul. We bypass this one. So let's go back to it. The Apostle Paul is telling Timothy these words. Verse 14, chapter 3 of 1 Timothy. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Well, church is a later terminology. He's talking about the Adat El, Aedah, that is the body of witnesses of the living God, of Elohim, which is the pillar and ground of the truth, not of lies, but of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, in other words, a deity that came from the Father, who is the chief deity. And the word God confuses people, because there is only one God, or in other words, there is only one El Elyon, and then one mediator, but both of them are deities. And changing the terminology using the word God, people got pretty deceived and confused, and they have constant controversies. How many gods are there? Well, there is only one. Both the Hebrew Scriptures, the Torah, the prophets, and the writings of the disciples made it very plain, and Christ Himself. There is only one chief deity. And that's what they mean by one God. There's only one. There are not two of them. But there are two deities. One is the chief one. One is El Elyon. You see? And that's the one that became the title God was applied to him, which is not a correct one, because that's confusing to people. That's why many people are confused to this very day. So it says, a deity, the deity was manifested in the flesh. And he was justified in the Spirit, and he was seen by angels. And he preached among the Gentiles, among the nations also. Obviously he came to his own, but also he sent his disciples to preach to the nations. And he believed on in the world, that is the ones that did, the few of them, not many. And he was received up in glory. And all that, why? Because he was obedient to the Torah of God to death, until the end. That is, to the teachings of God, to the commandments of God. And that's why he was a lamb without spot, without blemish, without a sin. What is a sin? Transgression of the Torah. So how can people turn around and say, well, it's okay to disobey the Torah, because it's not done away for, you know, that is, it's not for us, it's done away, we don't need it. You see the total insanity here. Well, God gives his life, but he's the deity that created us, by whom all things were created. He created us and he took all of our transgressions upon him, not so that we may continue in those transgressions and think that he did it for us, but that we may walk in the same way that he did. And these are the only ones that he's going to recognize who walk in the same road, on the same road, the way, that is, the religion of God, which is obedience to God, to the Torah of God, to the prophets of God, to the disciples of God, to the teachers that come from God, and speak his word and not their own. And that's how you know the difference between the teachers that come from Satan and those who come from God. If they teach you the Torah of God, the law of God, the teachings of God, the instructions of God from the beginning until the end, with the knowledge and understanding of what is applicable and what is not, obviously, they do not come from the wrong source, the wrong spirit, because they are not the children of disobedience. And so the house of God is made of people who are obedient to the Torah of God. And the house of the devil is made of people who are disobedient to the Torah of God, and that's very plain. And the disciples, even though years after Jesus Christ has ascended up to heaven, after the death and resurrection, they still continue to go to the house of God, to the temple. For what reason? To pray to God. Because they were obedient to him. And they did not think that the temple, even though some people there were not totally illuminated as they should have been, like some of the priests and some of the children of Israel, they still knew that this is the house of God, and it was the house where people come and obey God and teach the Torah of God with all their ignorance. They're still doing it, and therefore they did not see any reason not to continue to go to the temple, and when the temple was not around, they went to the synagogue. Because the purpose of going to the synagogue was to worship God, and that's what the people did there. And they're still doing it to this very day, even though there is a lot of ignorance there. But at least, you see the center that you find in the synagogue and in the temple was the Torah and the prophets. You see, when their eyes are illuminated, also the writings of the disciples when the time comes. And now let's go forward to 2 Timothy chapter 4, where he tells him, in verse 1, I charge you therefore before Elohim, before the chief deity, El Elyon, that is, and the Adon, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who is the deity that was also with him, and he is the one who is going to judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. What do you judge? If there is no law, what is to judge? If the law is done away with, what is to judge? You see? You cannot judge unless there is a law that has been transgressed. The whole thing becomes foolish when people say the Torah is done away with, I just live by grace and faith. If there is no law, why go through this charade, of judgment? Judgment against what? When there is no law, there is no sin. And so he says, he's going to judge everyone. And obviously he's going to judge in specific those who are liars and thieves and robbers and murderers and so forth, and all those who are disobedient to the law of God. That's what the judgment is going to be rendered against the evildoers. A righteous man does not need to be judged. But ultimately speaking, none of us is righteous 100%. We all have our own sins and iniquities and transgressions, but at least we acknowledge the Torah that is good, as Paul said. I know the Torah is good, but I am carnal, sold under sin. So we are going to be judged for the sins that we commit. Not that we desire to commit them, but because of the weakness of the flesh. But as for the others, they commit it because they want to do it. Because they have deceived themselves that the law is done away with. And so that judgment is going to be much more severe. And that's what he's saying. He's going to judge all of us at his appearing when he comes. This is when his judgment is. It's not when people die and supposedly go to heaven and go to hell. You just go to the grave and you just remain in the grave until the resurrection. And then you are being resurrected at that time. You are going to appear before the judgment of God, for the seat of the throne of the Lord that gave his life for us. And he's going to judge us by what? As he said, I'm not going to judge you in the last day. My word will. What is my word? The Torah. The Torah will determine whether you were obedient to it or disobedient. And all his teachings that he gave from Revelation from Genesis to Revelation. To the degree that we were obedient to it, we're going to be judged righteous. and vice versa. And so therefore he says, preach the word. Teach the word of God. Teach the Torah. Teach the, all the teachings that were magnified later on. Always preach it. Not something else. Not your own philosophy. Not your own ideas, as many people are doing. Many preachers who call themselves preachers of Jesus Christ. They tell their own stories all the time. Instead of preaching the word of God. The word that proceeded out of the mouth of God and his disciples, his prophets, you know, his lawgiver, Moses. That's what we are to preach when we come before the people of God and before God, not our own words. And so I said, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, that is exhort and convict people and exhort them with all long-suffering and teaching. You see, the teaching of the word of God, not your own. For the time will come when they will not endure sound teaching. Teaching means Torah, sound Torah. You see? Instead of enduring the Torah and the teachings of the Torah, it says, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. See, it's already a warning about the false teachers who will come and tell them, you don't need to obey the Torah. You don't need to obey the teachings of God. And they will turn their ears away from the truth, which is repent and be baptized. You see, repent of transgression of the Torah, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then you walk in righteousness, you walk in obedience, you walk in the faith. And you study the scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation by faith through Jesus Christ. That's the only message, that's the truth. And then you will become like Jesus Christ, who is the hope of glory. And when you stand in the judgment day, if your robe is white, that means if your garments are made of righteousness, obedience to the Torah of God, well, obviously your judgment is going to be good. But if your garments are dark, that means disobedience to the Torah of God, you're going to end up in the wrong place. That is utter destruction. You would not exist anymore. There is no hell for you. There is no heaven for you. There is total cessation of life. But burning in a lake of fire. And then you'll be gone. No roots, no branches, nothing. As if you've never existed before. And that's the truth that the scriptures have taught us. And so he says, there are going to be people who are going to turn away their ears, verse 4, from the truth, and be turned aside to fables. So they begin to invent their own theology. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And you cannot fulfill your ministry unless you teach the word of God, the law of God, the Torah of God, the teachings of God. Not your own fables. And that's what the preachers of Satan are doing. And they don't even know what source the truth comes from. And the shepherds of Israel, unfortunately, were like that. Among all the tribes of Israel, among the people of Judah, who remained, you know, with the temple and the sacrifices and all that, there were always many false prophets and only very few true prophets. And the false prophets taught them all as fables. Their own theology, their own religion, their own ideas, you know, a mixture of little truth and much error. A little bit of obedience to God, because, you know, you cannot have total disobedience. And so they have a little obedience to God and their own laws through which they taught people obedience to God, but they were not the laws of God. And they led people of Israel astray. These are the shepherds of Israel that God condemns through the prophets. Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Zechariah, and here you see it again in the writings of the Apostle Paul. And as Jesus Christ said, he warned his disciples for all generations. He says, take heed, because many will come in my name, many false shepherds. And they're going to tell you quite a few things about me and then deceive you by telling you don't have to keep the Torah of God. And that's the only way you can become like God. And so you can go through the rest of the scriptures that you find in Titus, Timothy, and letters of the apostles that were sent to the children of Israel, James and John and Peter, and all of them spoke about the same subject. All of them were warning the children of Israel. Those who were physical Israel and became spiritual Israel by receiving the Holy Spirit, and those who were grafted into Israel, the commonwealth of Israel, and they all gave them exactly the same message. That the way to God is through obedience and through faith. See, obedience to God and faith in Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no new religion. There is no new theology. It was the same message that God gave Israel from the beginning of time and to the first parents in the Garden of Eden. To walk with God is to obey His commandments and to do His will. And that message has never changed, and there is no religion, has never been a new religion. Abraham didn't have a new religion either. He walked in the same religion that Adam and Eve should have been walking all the time. And all the righteous men that did walk in that religion. And then He magnified it in Sinai. He gave them more because they were a nation now and needed more rules and regulations, partly because of disobedience. But in either case, it was never a new religion, never a new faith, never a different theology, never another church, so-called, another church, another entity. This was the law of God. These are the scriptures, the teachings of God, and that's what Paul is saying to Timothy and to all of us. These are the holy scriptures through which we can have salvation, you know, through Jesus Christ, when we have the faith also, not just obedience, but our faith. So you cannot choose and pick. Say, well, I'm for obedience, and the other one says, I'm for faith. You've got to have both of them. Obedience to God and faith in Jesus Christ, that He is the one through whom the process is being worked out by taking all the sins of humanity upon Himself. And when we walk in Him and He's being formed in us, in obedience, not in disobedience, then we have the hope of glory. And the path was very simple, and this is the way of God. There is no other way. And so, let's continue now in the book of Hebrews, which is bypass many others in between, because they all basically give you the same message. You can just repeat it again and again and again, and you'll find out it's all the same. In chapter 1, verse 5, we read, speaking by the angels, in other words, Paul is now, think that it's not Paul, it could be somebody else, but his writings make it very plain, whatever he's writing here, that it is the writing of the Apostle Paul, that's his understanding, and he's writing it to the Hebrews. And in verse 5, verse 1, he says that in many ways, Elohim, the chief deity, El Elyon, spoke to the fathers by the prophets, and he never spoke in person to anyone. He spoke through the prophets and in visions, and then he sent oftentimes, you know, Jesus Christ, the chief deity, that was not known, obviously, by that name, Jesus Christ, but many other names, and he spoke to mankind that way. And now he sent him personally, directly, to speak to his own people and to the rest of humanity. And then he's saying of him, in verse 5, for to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you, and he's quoting the Psalms. And again, I will be to him a father, and he will be to me a son. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of Elohim worship him. That is, all the angels of the Father, the chief deity, who created all of them by the one that became Jesus Christ. And so he was worthy of their worship because he was their creator, the direct one that created them. And so he says, let all the angels of Elohim worship him. That is, the angels of the El Elyon. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But to the Son, he says, your throne, O deity. You see, when you say, oh God, you know, and then you say, well, how many gods are there? And there is one or there are two. You see, the confusion is there because people change the words not having proper understanding. You know, it's a letter word, God. You have to understand that. It came from the German God, G-O-T, for a deity, and that's all it meant. It's a name of a deity. It's not even a personal name, just deity, general term, generic term. And so your throne, O deity, verse 8, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom. Ye have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. You see? So for people who say the law is done away with, I can walk in lawlessness, I just live by grace and faith. Well, this is what we read here. God, that is Elohim, the El Elyon, and also the deity that was with him forever and came and lived among us and took all of our sins upon himself because he created us. He hates lawlessness. That's what he's going to tell to all those people who will come to him and say, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. He said, I don't even know you because you are lawless. And he hates lawlessness. He's not going to allow anybody who has resentment toward the Torah or any of his teachings. Even the ones that you don't have to keep for whatever reason, you can never have contempt for any one of them. You see, those are the words of God. And so he loved righteousness, which is the opposite of the disobedience to the Torah, and he hated lawlessness, and we must be the same. Not love lawlessness, but hate lawlessness. In other words, hate without Torah, being without Torah. Therefore, El Elyon, the chief deity, your deity, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. You see, more than anyone else, more than the angels that he created, more than all those who are going to join that family and also become deities under the chief deity and the one who is going to have the preeminent over us because he created us and he lived forever to begin with. And so in verse 10 he says, and you, Adon, that is Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth. See, this is the one that became Jesus Christ. He is the creator. And the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. And they will grow old like garment, like a cloth. You will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, for your years will not fail. You are the same. You do not change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, as the Apostle Paul tells us. There is no change in him. And as he said himself to his own people, Malachi, I am the same, therefore you are not destroyed, you are Jacob. See, God never changes. He doesn't say, well, I'm sick and tired of this theology, I'm going to come up with a new one. I'm tired of this wife, I'm going to have a new one. Or I'm tired of this church, or I'm tired of this way of life. God is the same. What is righteous remains righteous for eternity. And so, people that don't understand that, they get confused. In verse 13, but to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? And the Father, the Lord of all things, the chief deity, El Elyon, sits on the throne and he says to his Son, you sit on my right hand. And he doesn't have anybody on his left hand called the Holy Spirit. See, that's one of the fables that people came up with in their ignorance and blindness. People rejected the Torah of God. And therefore, their wisdom perished. And they have no capacity to understand what they read in the scriptures. And so he says to him, sit on my right hand. He says, so I'm sitting here, and you're sitting on the right hand. Now, if God is one, three in one, why do you need to sit on somebody's right hand if you are one in him? See the insanity of people. So he says, you sit on my right hand. And as for all the angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation for us? What is salvation? Becoming a deity. Joining the family of God. Becoming the children of God. You know, when a father and mother get married, what is their purpose for doing it? So they can have children. And the children become human beings just like they are human beings. And that's what salvation is all about. And the deity that became flesh and blood, and person of Jesus Christ, who came from eternity and became flesh and blood, went back to eternity, he paved the road for us. So we who are flesh and blood, who originally came from him because he put his spirit in us, otherwise we didn't exist before that, and then he gave us a physical body, just like himself received the physical body when he came in the flesh, we go back into that territory, so to speak, of the divine. And now we receive not only the Spirit of God without measure, we also receive the spirit body, and we become deities like they are, above the angels. We don't become angels. That's another fable that people came up with, that people become angels. Now the angels are ministering spirits. They're our servants. They were created to be ministering spirits, and the ministers of Elohim, of the chief deity, the ministers of the deity, the one that became Jesus Christ, the God of Israel, the husband of Israel, and they are also the servants of all those inheritors that are going to be born as sons of glory and become deities. That's why they are our servants, and they're going to worship us. And then in chapter 2, in verse 5, we continue to read, for he has not put the world, that is the universe, not only the earth, to come, of which we speak in subjection to angels. They didn't put it in subjection to them. But one testified in verse 6 in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, O the Son of Man, that you take care of him. You have made him a little lower than the angels. And the word angels doesn't appear in the Bible. It's the word Elohim. That means you made him lower than the deities. That's what David said in Psalm 8. And people perverted that because they wouldn't believe in this process. And then he says, you have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. Why? The ultimate purpose is so he can become a son of the chief deity, El Elyon, and therefore becomes a deity himself. And so he says in verse 8, you have put all things in subjection under his feet. And specifically he's talking about the firstborn, the one that became flesh and blood, the one who created us, and then he paved the road for us to follow him in his footsteps. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him, but now we do not yet see all things put under him, because that's coming in the future, when we become spirit beings, like our Creator, who died for us. And that's the reason why he came and died for us, so we can become people who are obedient to God, and therefore having the nature and character of God in us, and then we can enter into that glory, where we live forever as deities under the chief deity and under our elder brother, who always will have the preeminence. And this is a message that God gave to Adam and Eve, and he gave to Israel, and Moses told them that. You are all sons of the living God, that is, of the chief Elyon, El Elyon. Anyway, and so we'll stop here, and again, this is Mordecai Joseph saying greetings to all of God's people.
The preceding message was taken from the worldwide website at address www.biblestudy.org. This site is sponsored by Barnabas Ministries. Bible study. You have questions? The Bible,